It is Locked On Jazz for the 3rd of August. Jazz get trounced by the Oklahoma City Thunder. What happened and how concerned should we be? And the Lakers are coming to it's the Jazz and the Lakers, and it's in Orlando, and it's a home game? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, bringing you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. This show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Hope you had a nice weekend. Jazz and the Lakers, 7 o'clock tonight. The Jazz got trounced over the weekend. The Oklahoma City game was not close, never close, never started to be close. They were down by double digits early, down by 20 in the second quarter, and stayed down by 20 until late into the fourth quarter when they broke through. The Jazz fell behind by 10 at 25-15 with a minute, actually about 21-11 was the first time, I think, or maybe, yeah. Or 20-9, Gallinari hit a three. We're down 10, 7.5 minutes into the game. Never got it back inside of 10 for any period longer than a possession. And fell behind by 20 early. I mean, like about second quarter somewhere, 60-40 was what I marked down, and never got back inside of it until garbage time. So completely manhandled, offensively, defensively, just outplayed the whole game. Our offensive rating was a 97. Our defensive rating by the end was a 113.5, which is bad, not as bad as it felt. We actually had 13 fast break points, which was surprising. There were actually like some statistical abnormalities here. We just simply did not hit any shots. We shot 39%, 26% from three. I have a few thoughts on it. I think there are some really legitimate concerns that we'll get to on the show today. The other one I do think, and if you watched all week long, the teams that had already played a high-level game, and then there were two times where the Jazz and the Thunder and then the Lakers and the Raptors, were teams that had played a game already, played against a team who hadn't played a game already. The team that hadn't played had a significant advantage. Here's the thought on it. I know that, you know, the always perfect Andy Larson decided to take a shot at me about this. That was snippy on my part and earned by him. This is my analogy to this would be if any of you ski or bike, or you can train all you want. These players can train all they want. They can play their 20-minute scrimmages. When you play your first 34-minute NBA game, your body is hammered. Trust me, having talked to players, hammered. So you can go through all your workouts, do all your stuff, and there are different types of fatigue. There's the fatigue of playing four games in five nights, which the league doesn't do anymore. There's the fatigue of travel. This is just your body has not done this before. And if you watched almost every team that played kind of like a highly emotional, big time first game, you also are emotionally spent. So Portland came out after their double overtime game yesterday and looked terrible to start. I think they were down 18 in the first quarter. To their credit, battled back and played Toronto the whole way. Or played Boston the whole way. The Lakers did not look good that entire game against the Raptors. They end up losing that game by, I think it was, 15. So New Orleans, second game back. Clippers also second game back. Clippers got through it, obviously, but New Orleans looked awful. I mean, dreadful. They were down 40. They allowed 77 points in the first half. So Oklahoma City was better than the Jazz, and there are issues of concern. But part of what took place in that game, in my book, is just having one team that had gone through the emotional and physical first game and your body's just not right on the second game. And some of the things that, like, when you see statistical abnormalities, they show up. We were 3 of 18 on catch and shoot threes at one point in that game. Okay, well, we're pretty good at that. Like, the best in the NBA at that. Sure, we're missing Bojan, but we got 7 guys that are above 40% on catch and shoot threes. So when we suddenly have a game in which nobody on the whole roster can make a catch and shoot three, you know what my reaction to that is? Something else is going on. And I think that that's, you know, we're lacking some tracking, official tracking data out of the NBA right now. That's not something that's coming across perfectly in all their arenas right now. So I don't have the official numbers, but John Kiefer was my statistician that night. That's something that we always monitor and we always keep an eye on. So these are somewhat unofficial, but John did a great job that night and we kept an eye on him. And, you know, we are 4 of 22 on catch and shoot threes, 2 of 9 on corner threes. Okay, that's not who we are. We're the best in the league at that. Both of those two things. So at some point, there's another factor that's taking place, and the emotion of playing that first game and getting back out and then the drain of not playing it, of coming off that. And then I think just physically being wasted from, you know, your first day skiing. If you're a hardcore skier, you can train all you want. It doesn't matter. But when you go from 41% as a team on a catch and shoots to 4 of 22, something else is going on. Now, with that said, they got hammered. Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got everywhere they wanted to be on the floor every single minute. The Jazz game plan defensively is to keep people to the sides to allow Rudy to impact the game. He impacts it less if you're coming down the middle at him. Oklahoma City's whole game plan is to come right down the middle at you at each and every play. And you know what? That's exactly what they did. They came down, they got to the middle, and if they didn't get to the middle the first time, they reset the pick and they got to the middle the second time. And Chris Paul simply got wherever he wanted to go all the time, all night long. And then Rudy had no impact on the game. And it's a tough one for Rudy. Rudy's supposed to come up higher and impact Chris Paul in some way, and then Steven Adams is behind him. And there's just it's a really, really difficult approach for Rudy in those games, but he was not impactful. Nobody was good. We could zero in on just about everybody. But Chris Paul owned the Jazz with his ability to just get back in the lane, get wherever he wanted. Their ball handlers got wherever they want all the time. Our guards had very little to no impact on what was taking place in that game. It's not great, right? Like, again, there's an explanation, I think, to part of the night. And then, and frankly, it could be, we'll see over time here, a majority of the night, but that wasn't great. Like, and we, you know, and we got hammered because of it. If you looked at some of the numbers through three quarters, when really the game almost felt like it was a scrimmage, that you're going to pull the numbers after three quarters because that's when it actually had any, you know, it was over. We were down 24 at the end of three. But Chris Paul at that point is 6 of 10 with 7 assists. He's plus 30. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's 5 of 11 with 6 assists. He's plus 15. Dennis Schroeder has not had the same impact on the game, but was able to get anywhere he wants. Their bench unit, he was minus 1. But Chris Paul completely dominated us in every aspect. At the same time, our offense was equally as poor, and we'll look at that and what Dort did to Donovan in the process because it was real. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located at Woods Cross, also located in Logan. Murdoch, sure, still taking place. If you'd like to avoid contacts, but you need to look at a car, you can do all your shopping online. They'll bring the car to you. You can test drive it there. They'll get the whole thing done. That's actually, we bought a car recently in that manner without ever stepping foot at 40 Murdoch Hyundai when we did it. You can do the same with Murdoch Chevy, also in Logan. The lineup of cars is fantastic. I drove the Trailblazer recently. If you're looking for a good sized SUV with a lot of space and a style and look, this Trailblazer was fabulous. And if you're looking for the great truck line, you have the Silverado and the Colorado, and no one makes a truck the way Chevy makes a truck. Located in Woods Cross, also in Logan, stop by, visit Murdoch Chevy, and feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com if you're looking for a truck or a car right now, and we'll have you set up with a meeting before you get there so you get the Locked On VIP treatment. Today's show is also brought to you by rockauto.com, a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail lamps to motor oil and even a new carpet. Whether it's your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need with just a few clicks delivered directly to your door. Rock Auto is unique and remarkably easy to navigate, kind of an old school site without the bells and whistles. So you can quickly see all the parts you want, your vehicle, your brand, and they charge the exact same for do-it-yourselfers as they do for professionals. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck right Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section. There's a little sign that says, How Did You Hear About Us? Make sure you put Locked On in. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I love the Monday edition of Locked On NBA. It's Josh Lloyd, our fantasy basketball host, who's just a great dude, going to the local experts on the biggest story. So he'll stop by three spots today and find out what they're thinking about the NBA, and you get the local experts on it. So make sure you listen to Locked On NBA today as well. All right, let's get to... So staying on that game, the biggest concern that I have is that when you kind of look through our season, we have struggled after breaks offensively. So against Oklahoma City, we had a 101.2 to start the year. Then the Lakers was our next game. We had an 86.7. Sacramento, we got up to about 110, which was our 32nd performance of the year. Then we had a terrible game against Phoenix offensively, an okay game against the Clippers, then a bad game against Sacramento, bad game against the Clippers, bad game against the Bucks. If you look at our season, our opening like eight games of the season, of the games we'd already played, our rankings were the 52nd, 63rd, close to worst, 32nd, 60th, close to worst. Clippers was 30th. Kings were 42nd. Clippers was 57th. 76ers was 38. And Bucks was 55. So we did not start the year well offensively at all this year. In fact, it kind of continued all the way till November 18th. Then we got it rolling, particularly in the middle of the year when we torched the Blazers and the Clippers, had great games against the Knicks, Hornets, Wizards, not great defensive teams, Sacramento, Golden State. Then we came out of that and out of the All-Star break and kind of went back to the doldrums. Poor offensive games against San Antonio and Houston, both in our 50s. Not a very good offensive game against Phoenix, 39th. A little bit better against Boston. Clicked in against Washington and Cleveland and kind of had clicked in by the time the break happened. So when we've come out of a stoppage, we've not been super. Is that because we need to have, you know, rhythm feel and continuity? I think so. I think that's a large part of what this group needs to put together and, you know, what they need, what has to happen for them to be successful. And that's concerning because it's going to be hard to get that. But on the other end, with Dallas losing again last night, you know, we just got six games to find a rhythm here. And that's kind of what it seemed to take on all those others to get to the playoffs. Dort just hammered Donovan. And if you actually go back in the previous matchup of the two teams, Donovan shot 33% when being guarded by Dort. We had that on the radio broadcast. It's why you should listen to Ron and I on our radio broadcast. We always have little tidbits of news and notes that nobody else ever has. And Dort just got into Donovan, and he just had nowhere he could go the entire game. He was as completely out of it physically. Dort just so much bigger, so much stronger, undrafted. What a find by Sam Presti. And can't shoot, can't dribble. And they found a way to use him. But he you know, we have to have Donovan playing well. Mike is probably not enough offensively single-handedly. Jordan has not been good yet. And so we have to have Donovan giving us a pretty decent game. And he was nowhere close. Like, Dort just absolutely manhandled him. No one's clicked in offensively. Like, Jordan's 35% for the field, 23% from three. I love the 6.5 threes he's taking. We've been awful when Jordan's on the floor. Donovan's at 38% and 25% from three. Mike's 40% for the field and 30% from three. Royce O'Neal's been really aggressive, taking 8 shots a game for a guy who's like one of the lowest usage rates of anyone in the NBA. 50% from the field, 36% from three, 7 rebounds a game. Joe's at 54% and 29% from three, but I actually have some things I'm watching Joe that have me concerned. Tony is scuffled. We're minus 11 when he's on the floor. Moutier's been poor. So, you know, we're not hitting much of a stride yet, and we have to have Donovan. Like, we just have to have Donovan going. It's interesting when you dug into the numbers on that game, the Donovan-Rudy pick and roll actually turned out to be really successful. For all the criticism it had, it ran, but Jazz only got into it about 9 times because Oklahoma City just had pushed in out our guys, and all of our picks and passes were offline, and we weren't where we were supposed to be, and they just dug into it. Donovan shot poorly against Dort the last time. This time he didn't even get shots off. Like, if Dort was guarding Donovan just struggled to get his regular looks out. When he did get his, I think he shot about 30% when being guarded by Dort on his shots, but it just was, he was completely taken out of the game as much as anything. They got a lot of, their roster reminds me a little bit of Toronto's, which gives us a hard time also. So anyway, that's a concern. We talked about a lot of these things for a while, and that is 31 minutes to replace Bojan Bogdanović. Which, I don't think we dismiss, because frankly, we talked about it an awful lot on the program. But when you suddenly look at, what we're doing in the season, Donovan's playing 34 minutes a game. So you're not going to be able to get any there. Bojan played 33. Clarkson's playing 25.5 for us. Gobert's at 34. Conley's at 29. So, all right. So, we're taking Conley from 29 to 32 right now. There's 3 of Bojan's 33 minutes. Ingles is up, has played 30 minutes a game. He's playing 32. There's 2 more. So, there's 5. That's how we're... Royce O'Neal is playing 29 minutes for the season. He's actually played 27. He's actually played a little less. We just don't have a natural... Clarkson's playing 28 minutes. He played 25, so there's 3 more. There's 8 minutes. Okay, that still leaves us 25 minutes a night that we've got to find minutes to cover for Bojan Bogdanović. Emmanuel Moutier is playing 16 of those. That's a considerable drop, right? Like, one of those guys was signed to a massive free agent contract, and one of them signed for the minimum and doesn't actually play the same position. That's a massive drop. Now, Moutier has improved greatly this year. He's done a lot of things that are really done well, but like, he's not Bojan Bogdanović, 21 points a game. 20 points a game. He's not Bojan Bogdanović, 40-plus percent from three. Like, that's a considerable drop. George Niang, we all love and root for. He's playing 19 minutes a night right now, which is actually a 6-minute increase. He's up 50% on his minutes played. That's a lot. He's only played two games all year where he's played over 20 minutes. George is not hitting right now. He's 2-for-10 from three, or 1-from-10 from three. The key when you're playing good teams every night is you have to have 240 quality rotation minutes. Like, look at how different all of a sudden the Portland Trailblazers look now that they have 60 extra minutes of Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic. We're short on 240 minutes right now. And most of the teams we're playing are not going to be short because none of the bad teams are here. And in the playoffs, none of the teams are going to be short. Unless me, you know, I don't think we're playing Dallas. Dallas keeps losing. So that's a big blow for us. And I think, you know, we can't minimize how significant that truly is. The filling the 31 minutes of Boyan is, I just don't think, I love George. I just don't think he's a 20 plus minute a night player. He's improved greatly. He's a great shooter. I think you're going to see more of him and Joe Ingles together on the floor because Joe's eighth in the league in getting corner three looks. And I think you're going to have to, you know, try to get him on the floor to get George some looks. But you know what? Playing good teams every night is going to expose individuals and teams in this bubble. That's what's going to make this such an interesting experience. All right, a thought on Joe and some thoughts on the Lakers as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Homey. Homey is changing the real estate world as we know it. Instead of paying 6% commission, did you know that on every house sale? 6% on commission. So if you sell a house for $300,000, it's $18,000 of that goes out to the real estate agents. Crazy. I know. Are they doing, each of them doing $9,000 worth of value? Questionable. How about if it's $500,000 house? Yeah, or $600,000 house, each of them gets $18,000. Crazy. So that's where Homey comes in and is changing the way the real estate world is being taken care of. Find out more about Homey by texting 88588. Text LOCK to 88588 to find out more what Homey can do for you. Get a local Homey salesperson, real estate agent to come help you every step of the way, help you with touring homes, finding your dream home, or selling your home. Homey saves sellers an average of $10,000. Yes. And Homey's not just doing a deal here, a deal there. They did over $1 billion of real estate transactions last year. Yes, that's with a billion. They've been around since 2015, so we probably shouldn't be calling them a startup anymore. They're just an established real estate company that's changing the way real estate is being done. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Save a little equity for yourself. Get a little bit more and save with Homey. Text LOCK to 88588. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete or a stay-at-home parent or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and charge and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient, easy-to-use roller and shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you support you need when it matters most. And to make it easier, try out this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer. They're offering our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. It's a new way to recover. Make sure that you take advantage of that and get the amazing products, CBD Freeze with menthol or CBD Recover. Once again, CBDMD.com. Use the promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of all superior oil CBD oil products at CBDMD. Lakers are interesting. I mean, on one level, they're great. They're 50-15. They got beat by the Raptors the other day. I thought they were tired too. There's some aspects of the Lakers that when I prep for them, I think to myself, wow, I'm not sure that's a championship team. And then I remember they have LeBron, and then I remember they have the length that they have. But they're only the eighth best offensive team in the league. Third best defensive team. Their length is incredible. It's what makes them game-changing. They're so long. They're only the fifth best shooting team in the league. That's good, but and they're only the 21st best three-point shooting team, and they only take the 23rd most amount of threes. I mean, they are completely driven by Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and they should be because they're great, and they're two of the top 5 or 10 players in the NBA, and so they're that great. The one thing that jumped out to me when prepping for them is how bad they are late in games. Like, that was a little surprising to me. So if you go look at teams in the clutch, and it's not the greatest stat ever, but I would think that LeBron's team would be great. Well, the Dallas Mavericks are the worst team in the bubble in the clutch, then New Orleans. And then the Lakers are actually right with the Memphis Grizzlies. Of teams that are going to make the playoffs, the Lakers will be the second worst clutch offensive team in the NBA. So that's surprising to me. Defensively, they're incredible late. But that makes, I mean, they're the fourth best defensive team. But when they get in the playoffs, like, the other great teams are all great offensively. Thunder are 124 in the clutch. Raptors are 122. Rockets are 121 offensive rating. Clippers 119. Celtics 116. Blazers 115. Jazz 115. Denver 113, Lakers 104, the Knicks, the Warriors, the Bulls, the Suns, the Pacers, everyone better. I thought that was surprising. I narrowed it down to 3 points, 3 minutes left. Jazz are the fourth best team in the NBA offensively at this point. Lakers get a little better. But they're at 15th. They're at 103. The best teams. Raptors 130. Oklahoma City 125. Rockets 122. Jazz 122. Clippers 119. Blazers 114. Lakers 103. Defense, Lakers, fifth best in the league. Great. Just makes me wonder a little bit. Just prepping for them without the names, and this is silly because they have LeBron James and they have Anthony Davis, though Anthony Davis was really passive and not very good the other night. And to me, when I prepped this team today, when I prepped the Warriors in the past or LeBron's Cavaliers, like, it just screamed championship to me. This team did not. Now, again, defensive length, two superstars. It's pretty amazing. And when they have LeBron and Anthony Davis on the floor together, and they can run that pick and roll or do whatever they want, they're incredible. They're plus +9, but again, like, honestly, like, that I thought would be plus +15 when I prepped for it. Like, I thought they'd be, that's what a championship team's best lineups are. When LeBron's on the floor without Anthony Davis, they're plus +11. When Anthony Davis is on the floor without LeBron, they're minus -0.2. It's not what I expected. One of the things I always look at with championship level teams is that they're positive with everyone on the floor. That you're positive with everyone on the floor. This team doesn't have that. So there's little things here that just kind of make me wonder. When LeBron's, the offense is 4 points or a point better when LeBron's on the floor, and the defense is 10 points better when LeBron's on the floor. They're fortunate that Rondo is not playing. He's been terrible. Their best lineups are pretty dominant. Not plus 20 dominant, but pretty dominant. However, their best lineup that's played the most minutes is Avery Bradley, Danny Green, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, no Anthony Davis. Their next one is Rondo, surprisingly, Caldwell Pope, James Kuzma, Howard. Rondo's not there. Their next one is Avery Bradley, Danny Green, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, JaVale McGee. He's not there. Their next one is only played 123 possessions and involves Rondo. When you suddenly take Avery Bradley and Rondo off the floor, which is where they are right now, and we'll see how much the playoffs they are, they're still great at plus 8.2, but they've only got their main lineup they've played is negative. They're great, but a championship team shouldn't see that. That's my take on that. In contrast, the Clippers' best lineups are plus 22, plus 18, plus 19, plus 34, plus 19. The Clippers, other than one Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, Rodney McGregor, JaVale McGee, Montrezl Harrell lineup, of their top 10 lineups, they're all dramatically positive. The Milwaukee Bucks, best lineups, plus 19, plus 17, plus 25, plus 19, plus 11, plus 16. They have one lineup in their top 10. And the Bucks have actually, interestingly, played the same five-man unit a ton this year. And it's plus 19. That's a championship team. Toronto, plus 15, plus 15, plus 15, plus 17. Have one bad lineup. Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Patrick McCaw, who's never going to play for them, OG Anunoby, and Serge Ibaka. We'll see. Could be really wrong on that. Why? Because of the power of LeBron and the power of Anthony Davis. Right now, go tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA. Have a wonderful day. Jazz Lakers, 7 o'clock tonight.